This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Daryl Rotter is brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, and he joins us right now. Daryl, good morning.
Hello, boys. How are you?
Now, Daryl, I know that you I know you cover the Browns, but you're also our Cleveland sports insider. So Lima is talking about trades here. You know what this goofball wants to do?
What's that?
He wants to get a trade involved, and he says that Darius Garland can go and that the Cavs could bring in Jalen Suggs, Alex Caruso, or TJ McConnell, and that would be better for the Cavs. Should we drug test him right now?
Probably. Okay. I have to.
That's kind of a twist on what I said.
That's not a twist on what you said.
Remember,
that's what you said.
I don't remember putting that in the trade machine.
Oh, is that traded?
Machine.
Is that a twist on what you said? Welcome to my world, then.
Let me express what I was saying.
Yeah.
Is that...
look at him backtrack.
Chris Fedor said yesterday, Cavs have mastered the regular season, but they need players that can master the 16-game gauntlet of the playoffs.
He's 100% correct.
And I think we all agree on that. I think we are all there. And some players can do both. They're great in the regular season, and they're great in the playoffs. I don't know that guys like Darius Garland are, and there's a reason guys that are worse than him, like Alex Caruso, TJ McConnell, there's a reason those guys can elevate teams in the playoffs. The game is totally different. And I think people need to start paying attention to the differences so that we can formulate a team that might actually be better, even if those guys are not as good as Darius Garland. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I do believe that this Cavalier team has reached its ceiling, unfortunately. They showed you what they can do in the regular season, and that's win the number one seed and be amongst the best record finishers in the NBA. But they're a second-round exit. You can't run it back. In spite of what Kobe Altman said at his nearly hour-long season wrap-up about keeping the core four together and not making major changes and sticking with these guys. He brought up Oklahoma City breaking through, and he brought up Boston breaking through. Here's the thing, though. Before they broke through, they made a move. Both of those teams made moves.
The Cavs made a move. They traded 3 first-round picks for Donovan Mitchell.
I understand that, Ken. What I'm talking about, though, is getting over the hump, so to speak. They made a move the season before they got over the hump. And I think the Cavaliers need to make a move to get over the hump.
They were a playoff team without Donovan. Well, excuse me, were they a play-in team without Donovan Mitchell? Okay, well, that's a move to get over the hump. And then they didn't get over the hump. They're on the hump right now.
This is 3 straight years where they've not been able to get through. And this was the year that they were supposed to be fueled by the previous 2 years to get through. Then they go and get DeAndre Hunter at the trade deadline, thinking that that was the move that was going to get them over the top, help them better match up with Boston. Well, they didn't even get to play Boston. I'm not convinced that this team, as presently constructed, all of a sudden the light bulb is going to go off for them as far as how they have to play in the playoffs, because I don't think it's in everyone's DNA within that locker room. For as great of a group as they are, for as talented as they are, I kind of lean toward Team Lima here. They're missing what it takes to win in the playoffs, and it's not Donovan Mitchell's fault. I don't think it's Evan Mobley's fault. They're putting a lot on Mobley. It sure sounds like that they're, you know, really their success or failures resting on Evan Mobley's shoulders. Now, I don't know necessarily that's fair, but Jared Allen doesn't help you in the playoffs. He helps you in the regular season, double-double machine, but he doesn't help you in the playoffs. Darius Garland, unfortunately, he just is getting beat up all the time, and I don't know if that helps you in the playoffs. So I do think Kobe Altman, not only does he have tough decisions to make this offseason, but before we start throwing trades out there, we got to make sure that they actually work within the second apron rules too. I'm seeing all these fantastic trades getting thrown out there, and it's like half the stuff doesn't even, the Cavs aren't even allowed to do it because they're in the second apron right now. So, you know, and that's another challenge for Kobe Altman, to see if they can get under that second apron so that they have a little more flexibility to make this a better basketball team come playoff time.
Go ahead.
That seems like Daryl agreed with me.
I know. You guys are just in a great big fat agreement fest, which it's just not. You guys are making moves to make moves, and I don't like that.
I'm not making moves to make moves,
you're both making the classic mistake where you're frustrated. There's teams that are better than you.
The classic mistake.
You think Jared Allen all of a sudden, the switch is going to flip for him in the playoffs, and he's going to be tough?
No. I'm talking about Darius Garland.
The classic mistake the Celtics made the year before they won it all. The mistake, apparently, that Oklahoma City made trading for Caruso and Hartenstein.
Did they make those before the second apron? Did they make those before the second apron? Did they or did they not? Did they make those before the second? I'm asking. Did they make those moves before the second apron?
What do you mean before the?
Because you said that they made moves. Were they under the constrictions that the Cavaliers have with the second
Celtics
apron when they made that?
The Celtics
when they made
had to think
moves
about it. They knew it was looming.
They knew it was looming, but were they under the constrictions right then when they made those trades?
I mean, the Cavs can get under the second apron depending on what they do with Jerome and Okoro and
I'm
Merrill
just sure
and Wade.
I was asking the question. I know it came off a mean-spirited way.
No, it's fine.
But I'm asking the question. But when I'm talking about Darius Garland, I think Evan Mobley still has more room for growth. I know that. I definitely believe that. I believe that Darius Garland has more room for growth. I think Donovan has reached his ceiling, but his ceiling is still better than everybody's. And I think that Jared Allen has reached his ceiling. But I'm not just going to make these crazy moves for Alex Caruso or TJ McConnell and then start to talk about postseason stuff when I still can believe more in some of these guys. And I don't want to go and make moves because I'm mad that they lost. I'm mad that they lost, but I don't want to go ahead and ruin what could possibly be still a good run just by making a move because I'm angry. I'm not going to do that. That's what other teams have done in the past when they were trying to be as good as other basketball teams and end up ruining their franchise when you bring in the wrong people. I mean, good God, you trade away. If this one didn't work out your way, you are saying that the Cavaliers 20 years from now will be the team that traded away Darius Garland for Alex Caruso or TJ McConnell. I mean, that's laughable. It's laughable. Go ahead, guys.
Well, you're saying it's laughable, but I've seen those guys play well in the playoffs. We're waiting on Garland. So, I don't know. Maybe you'll be right.
I've seen other
maybe
guys play well in the playoffs. But are they still the players? You agreed with me just in the last segment that Darius Garland can still be a good playoff player. And certainly Evan Mobley can be, which I know you're not talking about trading away Evan Mobley.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm meeting you halfway. I think that Jared Allen has reached his ceiling, and I think he's a bit of a plug inside. I'm meeting you halfway on that. But when it comes to Darius Garland, I'm sorry. I still think there's a lot more meat left on that bone.
I think all options have to be on the table when it comes to both Jarrett and Darius. That's all I'm saying.
Okay,
I'm not saying make a trade for the sake of making a trade. I do think they need to trade Jarrett Allen.
Fair enough.
I don't think they win an NBA championship. As much as I love Jarrett, I just don't think that he is NBA championship material. I just don't. I know what I see in the playoffs, and it's not there. So, but as far as Darius goes, I don't feel like he's untouchable. I don't think he's untouchable like Evan Mobley and Donovan Mitchell are. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. I'll meet you there, too.
All right. Daryl, when it comes to the Browns, national media is starting to get in on whether or not Cleveland is making too big of a deal about OTAs, about the depth chart. You've been
when
there.
When don't we make too big of a deal about the depth chart and OTAs? It's an annual tradition here. You kidding me?
Well,
we're getting Super Bowl tickets printed at this point.
Well, if Shedeur Sanders truly is the number one NFL story right at this point, does it stand to reason that there is going to be a lot of discussion about that depth chart, even if he is just fourth?
He's the number one NFL story because he's the number one player for engagement. I post a 6-second clip of him throwing a football. I was actually mocking it the other day, and like people were hating on me. They didn't get the joke.
Uh-oh.
I was mocking it. You know, I posted a 6-second clip and said, hey, Shedeur Sanders throws a football, news at 11, because they can't get enough Shedeur Sanders content. You do that, and you're good for at least 50,000 views on X. He's a story because he's popular. I don't think he's a story because he's getting first team reps right now. He's the fourth quarterback on this depth chart. And I'm getting a kick out of all the hot take artists around the national media talking about how Shedeur Sanders is going to win the starting quarterback job. He's got to leapfrog three other dudes to win that job right now. Does he look? Did he look better on Wednesday than he did rookie camp? Absolutely. He looked like, and I posted that too. It looked like he has been putting in a lot of time, working on the mechanics, working on the throwing the football and all that. Looked, in my view, tremendously better than he did during rookie camp. And he looked pretty good during rookie camp, okay? But I think that the Browns are, this is all by design. I really feel like the Browns want to make sure when they put Shedeur Sanders on the field, they're not doing it because they have to. They're not doing it because they're trying to sell jerseys in the team shop. They're not doing it because the fans want it. They will do it because he's ready and can help them win football games. I really feel like they want to set this kid up to be successful rather than just put him out there to placate the media and the fans.
Yeah, all right. I'm brought to you by Schaub & Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. So it's weird. I'm hearing the national media kind of have this back and forth of, well, he's a fifth-round pick. We got to make sure he even makes the team. And then I'm hearing Colin Cowherd say,
he's going to make the team.
He's going to start. Well, that's the thing, Daryl. I
Andrew Berry does not cut rookies that he drafts.
Well, Daryl,
that just doesn't happen.
Daryl, in New York and L.A., like, they're having this big argument. I'm like, hey, if you put boots on the ground in Cleveland, Ohio, or even listen in, I think every single fan's like, yeah, he's making the team. The question is whether or not he and Dylan Gabriel are making the team. The question is whether or not Joe Flacco would be jettisoned or Kenny Pickett would be jettisoned to start this year. And I'd be willing to go as far, and I think a lot of Browns fans would be willing to go as far as, like, yeah, there's a probably 80, 90% chance that we'll see both these guys start a game for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, because that's just the way it goes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the frustrating thing for the Browns is every time they have a sound, solid plan in place, circumstances always seem to get in their way and force them to deviate from those plans. Yeah, do I think Shedeur Sanders is going to start a game at some point for the Browns this year? Yeah, probably. Yeah. Not necessarily because that's what the Browns want, but because circumstances are going to dictate that. And I 100% agree with you. For me, they're going to keep three guys, and it's going to come down between Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco. And right now, it's a coin toss for me. We've had this conversation, Ken. Like, looking at just from a philosophical standpoint, taking a step back, philosophical standpoint, I probably go with Kenny Pickett over Joe Flacco because, well, he's younger and trying to see if there's a little something there, right? Can he be fixed or whatever? And if not, okay, then you turn it over to one of the rookies and see what those guys have this year. And then you have a better informed decision what to do with those first round picks come April 2026. But Joe Flacco, beloved here. He's a winner. Just listen to him talk. And the maturity, he's a fantastic influence within the locker room, the consummate professional, still can spin it out there, and you can sell him to fans, like, hey, we're not tanking the season, we are trying to win right out of the gate. I'm torn between which avenue I feel like the Browns are going to take here, but I do find it very difficult to believe they're going to successfully keep all four guys and that they're going to cut Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders because, again, Andrew Berry does not cut his draft picks as rookies.
All right, another thing that I'm seeing people mention, Daryl, is that we talk so much about Myles Garrett not being at OTAs when we're talking about his leadership qualities, but Joel Bitonio also not at OTAs and hardly a mention. Daryl, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I really don't care who shows up to OTAs.
So if nobody came, you'd be fine with that, with the Browns. You wouldn't ask any questions.
Outside
Minnesota,
of
Minnesota, every single player did attend.
I know. Outside of the quarterbacks and stuff, like Miles being on vacation, this is, as Kevin Stefanski said, this stuff's voluntary. This isn't the first time Myles Garrett's missed an OTA. Joel Bitonio, you know, these guys come and go during OTAs as well. Keep that in mind. They come one day, maybe don't come the next day. So I'm sorry, and I know you're looking for me to do this, but I can't work myself into a shoot over the fact that Myles Garrett's hanging out in
Japan
right now.
Wait, you thought that he was trying to get you worked up?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's Lima. Come on. It's Friday. It's Lima.
You don't
of
know
course,
that.
Yeah.
Maybe he was just asking you. The realistic thought of what you wanted.
Well,
have you said any of this to Nick? He was very upset about this earlier this week.
How do you think that Jimmy Haslam, who went out of his way to reference the leadership that he'd like to see. How do you think Jimmy felt about seeing on the day that the OTAs began that he almost went out of his way to point out that not only was he not there, he wasn't on the same continent?
I will say this. The optics look bad, right? Just got the big contract extension. The Browns gave him a lot of money to, you know, be happy to stay here after he wanted out of here, right? But, you know, Miles is going to do what he's going to do, number one. Number two, he's not a leader. Like, I say this all the time. One of the primary problems the Browns have is they try and force leadership upon guys who are not leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And the players vote on the team captains, and they vote for the popular guys in the locker room. And popular guys in the locker room aren't always good leaders either. I'm not knocking Miles. It's not in his personality to be a leader. He is a great player. He is a future Hall of Famer. But that doesn't mean he's a leader. Deshaun Watson, they voted him a team captain. What did that dude ever do to earn being a team captain for this organization? I kind of feel like Kevin Stefanski ought to pick the captains on the team. And the captains on the team should be the guys who lead by example. That's just me. That's just my take on it. I realize that's not how Stefanski does things. I realize that's not necessarily how the Browns do things. It's not the first time we agree to disagree on something they do. But I think that they get the leadership thing wrong so many times. And if they would, you know, if they'd get that part right, I think it would help them exponentially when it comes to trying to win football games on Sunday.
Darryl Ryder, we thank him very much. He's brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Darryl, thank you.
You bet, guys. Have a great weekend.
The dangerous one. Getting ever so dangerous. Guys, what about Joel Bitonio? What about Joel Bitonio?
Guy's guy.
Saw a lot of that
what,
recently.
Oh, I didn't ask Darryl what a guy's guy was. Damn it, I'm sorry. Well, that's Nathan what a guy's guy is.
Is he doing the same phone calls that Teller is making? You see the Wyatt Teller making
what
the phone calls?
Is that the TikTok craze or something? What is that?
Is it wishing guys good night?
Yeah.
They just call and tell. Is that exactly what it is?
He wished Bitonio good night. And Joel was
that's
like,
pretty funny.
Okay.
Can I get a video of me wishing Tone good night?
We got to do this.
Well, now, if you both know it.
Mine will be like, it's 4:30 in the afternoon. Like, yeah, good night.
Maybe this is inspiration for coming in hot today.
Good night, you little bitch. Good night. Wait a minute. You always have me on speakerphone. I can't say that in front of your kids.
Made me do this, you bitch!
That was passionate acting. That was me in a movie. Stop it. Heavenly Claws. It's a good job of acting by me. I'm a thespian. Coming in hot at 9:45. So what, you call up guys, you call up your friends on the phone and you wish them good night?
Yeah.
What do you say to them?
Good night.
That's it?
Yeah.
All right. Must be...
You're crazy over there at the Heller
house. Getting nuts, man. You guys are crazy. What about Joel Bitonio, Tone? What about Joel Bitonio?
I tell you, so people are bringing him up when we talk about one guy not being at OTAs who's a veteran and who's supposed to be a leader. We don't ever mention Joel Bitonio. So why is that? Now, I could come up with a few reasons.
I got a bit of a problem here with the entire premise of being asked. Give me your few reasons first before I go off.
A few reasons. Like, obviously, it wasn't Bitonio that went on the national media tour basically trashing where the Browns are at. He did it in the nicest way possible, I will add. Mm-hmm. I think Myles Garrett did it very as tastefully as one can do. But he was. The essence of what Myles Garrett was saying was, the team sucks, they have no quarterback, you're not going anywhere, trade me. And then he got his contract and then obviously took a very different stance. Well, the owner at the owner's meetings.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Did go out of his way. He did not. I mean, yeah, he's asked questions about Myles Garrett, but he definitely went out of his way to say, we need more leadership out of Myles Garrett. And a contract like this does come with added responsibility. And then the first chance he gets to kind of show that off, obviously, he's in Japan. And it's not only that he's somewhere else. It's that he really, it does look like he went out of his way while all the Browns players and the media and the fans are posting about OTAs.
I don't think so.
Myles Garrett's like, no, I'm over here.
He was at an anime awards or something like that. I mean, it was going to get out and be public.
Sure.
So he's in Tokyo. So what?
It's not about where he is or what he's doing.
This is why I'm getting upset with some of the stuff. Like, some people are mad we're even talking about it. Well, guys, we talk about what you want to talk about. And
there are plenty of Browns fans who absolutely want to talk about it.
Several of you were calling in yesterday.
It's a big split on Myles Garrett
right now. Yes, including by our hosts here as well. I mean, Nick is beside himself with Myles Garrett. Says that this is a slap in the face to the fans and him and everybody like that. And I don't see it that
way.
We
didn't go that far.
And I'll tell you what. Well, no, I didn't go that far at all because I don't have a problem with it. And honestly, I don't have a problem with Joe Bitonio not being there.
But hold on. We would have loved it if Myles Garrett was there because he hadn't been at OTAs.
You know what?
We would have absolutely loved it.
I'm glad you said this.
If Myles Garrett showed up, first guy in the building, took to social media, talked about how we're building chemistry. It's about rebooting the Browns in the right way. Like, everybody would have loved it and fawned over it. Don't act like you wouldn't have.
It would have
Don't
been lie. A conversation of, do you believe that Myles has turned the corner of leadership? That's what it would have been.
And people would have agreed. They would have said he would have.
I would have said it's a good first step.
Yeah.
It's a good first step. Because, again, he's not. When we say guys aren't leaders, it assumes that he's a bad guy. They're not bad guys. Him, Joel, certainly, David, certainly. They're not bad guys. They're not there. Joel Bitonio not being there. I flatly think Joel Bitonio, because of his health, they would have just been like, hey, you're going to stand around anyway. So if you want to do it, fine. If you want to stand there, fine. If you want to get your workout in or whatever, fine, go ahead. Or if you want to come later in the OTA process, fine, that's fine. The only one that I probably had any problem with, and again, I just want to know what if there was a personal problem or anything, was Diontae Johnson, because I'm thinking you're trying to hold on to your NFL career.
Yes, this is his last straw.
You're only 7 years into this thing, so why would you just completely... Why would you ever give a chance to make them think different of you? Why would they, or not even think different, but think the same old with you? Why would you do that? That was the one where I questioned. The other ones, I mean, Myles Garrett's a Hall of Famer. Joel Bitonio, if he played on a more successful team, would be a Hall of Famer. David Njoku's a fine player. I got no problem with him not being there. So when you're telling me, Ken, what about Joel Bitonio? Yeah, what about Joel Bitonio? I don't have a problem that Joel Bitonio wasn't there, and I certainly don't have a problem that David Njoku wasn't there. Again, so wrong show. I know that there's two fat white guys on this station bitching, but we're bitching about different things, and I think that some of us get a little bit confused. Like that person, did I tell you guys about this? The guy who was dealing cards at the casino over the weekend, and he DM'd me, and he's like, hey, it's nice to meet you over the weekend.
Oh,
and I'm
thought
like,
it was you.
Well, yeah. No. He's dealing cards at the casino, and I go, I'm sorry, did we meet each other this weekend? He goes, yeah, I was your dealer. And I went, I was in Youngstown this weekend. And then I thought, this guy thinks I'm probably lying to him. Like, I don't want him to know, or I don't want people to know that I was at a casino or something like that, where I'm like, I wasn't at a casino. I was at my godson's fifth birthday party. And we stayed in Poland, Ohio.
So my dealers know never to contact me during business hours.
Well, that's a different type of dealer.
Maybe it's an arms dealer.
But I'm going, of all the places, like, it's like now, and I know this, was the guy who was there, so he met him thinking it was me. The guy there, the fat blonde guy, who was clearly playing cards over at the casino. Did he think he was going to get a free chip or something? Ooh. And so he just assumed that he was going to take my identity and play cards with it? Anybody? Can anybody help me out? Has this happened before? Has anybody met a fat blonde guy in Cleveland, Ohio, assumed it was me, and they just went with it? Hilber over here, or Cookie Pie, he says people have handed him drinks before. Thought it was me.
Thought it was you?
And he just took the drinks. Yep. He just took the drinks. He had one guy who said it was me, and it wasn't me, and Hilber kept saying, I'm not Ken. And the guy finally was like, all right, you don't have to be a jerk about it, but he said different words. Yeah, that's what's going on. But I know we all kind of look alike, me and Nick and fat white guys in Cleveland. We're bitching about different things. I don't care that Joel Bitonio wasn't there or Myles Garrett or David Njoku. I don't expect leadership from any of those guys. I don't. I don't know who to expect leadership from on this team. Frankly, I don't know if the guy who's supposed to be a leader is on this team yet. I don't know. I think there's been plenty of guys who have been fake leaders in the past, either on the Browns or in the NFL. I think there's a couple of notable names who I know for a fact when it comes to other players in the NFL, they're fake leaders. They're leaders in the media, and the media loves them, and they all write about their leadership, and then when it comes down to it, they're not leaders. And their own teammates talk about them. You can talk about that. Like, I don't think that Miles is a fake leader. I know what Jason wrote.
I just know that
Miles isn't a leader, and I'm willing to accept that.
Joel Bitonio, I think he's almost doing the Browns a favor by even coming back this year.
Well,
he's getting paid. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's making a lot of money.
True.
But he could have very easily retired. The Browns desperately need him for one more year. And this is it. We've all agreed. This is his last year.
It is.
That's not the case for Miles. Miles just signed a contract. One of the biggest non quarterback contract extension there is in football.
And if you're upset, I'm not saying you're stupid to be upset. I think it is frustrating for some fans that they feel as if they take winning more seriously than the team they root for, which is not what you want. You want to be much more laissez-faire about it than the guys who play. But Miles is too damn good for me to go against him on this. When he starts to fail, when his skills start to diminish, it will be open season on him as a player, and probably for some people as a person. But it'll be open season for him as a player. Like Jose Ramirez, I brought this up yesterday. Jose Ramirez is a bona fide leader. He's beloved in Cleveland, Ohio. He's beloved by the organization. He is a statue style of player. And at some point, not now, and hopefully not next year or the year after that, at some point his skills will start to quote-unquote diminish. He will be given plenty of slack from the fans because of the leadership qualities that Jose Ramirez has. And he deserves that. When Myles Garrett's skills start to diminish, we're going to call him a bunch of words and say that he ain't a good football player anymore and that the Browns made a terrible decision in signing him to a long-term deal that puts him up at 34 years old or something like that by the time we're done with it. You know, that's what's going to be said. That's what's going to be pointed out. But when it comes to leadership, I mean, hell. Guys, I can give a rah-rah speech. I can give fiery, passionate, brimstone speeches, but I can't replace 16 sacks a year. It's what it's about. He's the best player on the football team. He takes second and one when a team wants to do play action and turns it into third and 11 and gets your defense off the field. He is just not any of those guys you think of when it comes to leadership. But I've known that for 9 years. That's why it's unsurprising. That's why I scratch my head at guys with microphones in front of them screaming and yelling. I'm going, why are you surprised? Because he accepted more money, the first time around, and he didn't become a leader. Now he's accepted more money. What am I missing? When he was talking about this stuff, I told you then I didn't. So if you chose to believe it, well, I guess it's not your fault, but it is your problem to deal with something like that. Has DeJuan Jones lost too much weight? 216-474-0092.
I'm saying DeJuan Jones, good, ESPN, the body issue, looks it's good. All coming together.
Ooh, that's a great idea. Also coming in hot at 9:45. Folks, keep your comments within the boundaries of good taste. All right, I'm going to take a couple on Miles, and then we got to get to this Darius Garland, Daryl Ryder, Cavs ceiling thing. Eddie and Westlake, you're first up on the fan. Yellow.
Hey, I can't believe it, but I'm agreeing with you 150%, but
oh, wow.
Look, man, Miles Garrett, this is a different kind of leadership, too. So you guys, you just mentioned it, you know, Miles Garrett has never been the type of person that just be giving a whole bunch of speeches and doing all this. This is voluntary workouts. I mean, nobody is thinking that Joe Bitonio is not a leader. Nobody is thinking that T.J. Watt in Pittsburgh, they saying, oh, man, we better not give T.J. Watt this money because he didn't show up for OTAs. I mean, come on, man. It's voluntary workouts. Where, you know, if people didn't even consider Miles Garrett to be a leader, he a leader by default because he a first ballot Hall of Famer that gets 15-plus sacks every year and draws double teams. So even if he didn't want to be a leader, he's a guy, I don't want to be a leader. I'm not a leader. He's a leader by default. So it's by example.
The T.J. Watt part, though, it is being talked about, and a big part of it is the contract extension. He's looking for a contract extension, and so he basically it's one of the levers he has. And so nobody's really talking about the leadership.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
They're talking about the contract.
It's been going extension. On for football forever. So that's what I'm saying. So he doesn't have to show up for this volunteer.
Yeah, but Miles already got paid.
When Myles Garrett falls off, he will, because Father Time is undefeated. When he falls off and it's at the end of this contract and they got to make a decision whether they're going to cut him or not, they're not going to ask him, is it okay? Just like they didn't ask Nick Chubb if it was okay. Nick Chubb, not a vocal leader. Nick Chubb just shows up. He just shows up, but he doesn't say anything. Is anybody saying he's not a leader? Would anybody consider him not to be a leader? But when his skills diminished, they got rid of him. They're not going to ask you if it's okay with you or if you're comfortable with it. They're just going to do it.
Eddie,
it's a business.
Eddie, would you not have thought anything, Eddie, had he have showed up and they made a big deal about it and he posted it all over his social media and he talked about why I thought I needed to be here this year, you wouldn't have applauded that?
Yeah, I would have applauded, but I wouldn't have cared one way or the other. Because
it sounds like you would have cared if you would have applauded it.
What would you say if he got hurt at OTA? What would you say then?
Well, he wouldn't have had to do a rap. Like, nobody would have expected him to actually get down in drills.
It's voluntary, man.
Well, Eddie.
He never missing mandatory stuff.
This is where it's at. Eddie, this is where it's at. And thank you very much for the call. All right, let me have the fight for Eddie here. You just asked some great questions, right? And I know you see it the same way I do, but that's a little bit devil's advocate. All the Browns did was give him money. That's all they did. They said the leadership thing. Is there a leadership clause in his contract? Is there something where he has to give X amount of rah-rah speeches throughout the year? Is there anything like that that Miles has to do? All the organization did was give him more money. I don't care about the money thing. It's not an expectation of the money. You're paying for the production. I can go in front of people and give big, fiery, sweaty speeches. But they would not pay me for that. They would pay me for production, and I can't sack anybody. You can get a bunch of guys who are not good at football, who love football, and would play for your football team, or you can have one Myles Garrett. And you can have one in the generation of Myles Garretts, because there's only a couple of guys out there that can do anywhere near what Myles Garrett does. It's been 9 seasons. We're going into year 9. 9 years. He's never changed. I would be much more concerned. I'm going to tell you this. If he were to stand there, and he were to go to any of these other things and start talking about how he's a changed man, and I don't think he has, but if he were to go, I'm a changed man, I know that this is my responsibility, we fight together, this is my team, all this other crap, then I think there'd be a basis there for any of this. Sorry, there's not. He doesn't do that. He never has. He never has. He gets paid to sack people. He sacks a lot of people. That's what he does. When he stops being able to do that, then yes, his role has to change a little bit. Vince Carter, I'm sure at the beginning of Vince Carter's career, there was a lot of times where he's like, I ain't no leader, I don't want to be a leader. Guess what? By the end of his career, Vince Carter was a leader. You know why? His role had to change. Because he wasn't what he was before. So guys have to change as time goes on. Maybe he will in the next few years once his skill does start to diminish. But as of right now, I don't see his skill diminishing, and he's not done anything to really make me mad at him. Chris in North Royalton. I mean, people are yelling at Myles Garrett. All he did was take money. All he did was take more money. They offered him more money. He took the money. Hello, Chris.
Ken, how you doing today?
I'm okay.
This isn't at you. You're exactly right. Last gentleman stated it right. It is voluntary. Lima, if the girl wanted to go home with you last night, it was voluntary. Get it? It's voluntary. If Myles Garrett gets hurt, what are we going to do? Oh, he shouldn't have been at OTAs. It's the same thing you hear year in and year out. Stop complaining about it. Nick, put away your flannel and your hat and go back to Carolina.
Woo!
You guys have a good day.
Chris, coming in hot at 9:45.
I do laugh, though, because... I laugh because there's no doubt. Like I went to see the reaction in Minnesota when their coach said everybody was there, perfect attendance. They went nuts. They talked about what a great culture they're building there.
I know.
And the fans here would have went nuts if everybody would have showed up.
Again.
Don't deny it. We know that's the case.
Do you think if the Browns were, if they had a stable quarterback, would Myles Garrett be?
All right, I want you to.
Yeah, it's a good question.
I want you to hold me to this.
Like it, because Joe Flacco said it. You guys need to be, like the way he phrased it, he was being nice because he knew some guys weren't there.
If they were coming off an AFC North championship.
Oh, and Joe Flacco kind of said, like, it's important for him to be there. Like him. He thought for him to be there.
Joe Flacco.
Now, obviously, Myles Garrett dominates. So Myles Garrett's probably like, I can just show up, you know, games. Just let me know when the game starts. I'll show up.
They got bench press machines in Tokyo.
The problem isn't that, though. It's the guys that look up to Myles Garrett. It's because not everybody can get away with that. In fact, nobody can get away with that except for him.
There is a guy, there is a guy in Myles Garrett where you remember when he first came into the league. Like we had coaches texting about, you know, he's kind of a one trick pony. He kind of only has one move. It's kind of maybe he's always been his own guy. He's always done his own thing. There's only one guy I've seen have dinosaurs up at his press conference. He's a different fella, man. He does it differently. I remember people, well, does he love football? Because he likes to play piano and he likes to do all that other stuff. Remember, we talked about that to Kingdom Come. He's just a different guy. A lot of guys fit into where we want him to be because they do. And I'm telling you, it is different, guys. 98 times out of 100, you get the money. You get the C on your chest. You feel you have to be that guy. You have to make those speeches. And I think at times he's felt he's had to dabble in it. But he's just not him. And I would rather it this way where, hey, you know what? I'm going to go to Tokyo and not go to OTAs, which I haven't been to in years. I'd rather him go to Tokyo and be that same guy instead of show up this week, talk a bunch of stuff, talk a bunch of trash. And then when we get into the real thick of everything, and hold me accountable to this, by the way. When we get into the real thick of the season and all of a sudden he disappears and we don't hear. Now, I'm not talking about on the field. I'm talking about the leadership stuff. Guys, it's always been this way. I was critical years ago when Anthony Walker Jr. was the one who had to speak on the state of the defense. A guy on a series of one-year deals had to speak on the state of the defense and leadership on the defense and all those things. One-year deal, Anthony Walker Jr. And while Anthony Walker Jr. is a hell of a guy and a nice football player and certainly a leader type of player, Anthony Walker Jr., you would take Myles Garrett over Anthony Walker Jr. every single day and in days that aren't invented yet. Rodney McLeod, who we've hosted shows with. Rodney McLeod giving the speeches. Rodney, a two-year Cleveland Brown on one-year deals. Rodney McLeod giving the rah-rah speeches. Rodney, that was his role, as best he could do it. Myles, not that guy. So why would I expect Myles to do it now? By the way, Daryl says that the Cavs have reached their ceiling. Do you believe that?
I don't think that because I think you can't put that kind of a ceiling on Evan Mobley. I really do believe that Evan continuing to get better and better. But I think where I have a disagreement with a lot of Cavs fans is I think it's going to be hard for Evan Mobley to truly take the leaps offensively. It seems like he takes a type of a leap every year.
And you think that Darius might be the plug for him?
I'm blaming Jared. Okay, I do. I think Atkinson did a better job of staggering those guys this year. But I do think that having Donovan and Darius together, like I find no better example than the elimination game, final game of the year, when we all agree Darius was not 100%. Darius took 16 shots, Evan took 12. Now, yeah, I put some of that on Evan. Call for the ball, make yourself available. I call, you know, the coaches too. Let's call some plays for Evan. But also, it's just going to be tough with two really talented guards that are going to need to take shots. It's always going to be tough for Evan Mobley to initiate offense when the ball is in the two of those players' hands.
Well, then that's still going to be, and let me counterpoint it here. I hear what you're saying. I respect what you're saying. I rarely do. It's a joke. I think that maybe is the point of growth for Evan. If you're hot, and we know you can play well inside, and he did in that series, he did in the postseason, then you're going to have to call for it, man. The only way, I don't care, unless they trade for Giannis Antetokounmpo or something like that and you still had Evan Mobley, like if you had made an unrealistic trade whatsoever, the only way they're really going to get to where they need to go, you can start talking trades. Evan has to step up and be the number one. He has to. Donovan cannot be the best player on this team for them to win an NBA Finals. And Evan has to do that. So if I have to look at that all summer and go, why did Darius get 16 shots and you got 12? That has to be a calling card where he's going to have to demand the bleeping ball.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.